The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattullo, and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
.906 in the big city. Al Gattullo and Joe Sebilia here on the Joe Piscopo Show as Joe is in Italy and will be there until he's returning next Thursday evening. He'll be back on the air next Friday to come back on the show and then get prepared for Christopher Columbus Day. Columbus Day, yes. Let's not get rid of Columbus Day. We have a politician apparently in New York State who wants to get rid of Columbus Day and replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day. Enough already. Stop. It's Columbus Day. Let's not get rid of the holiday. Let us celebrate Christopher Columbus. We know that there were some things that he did that weren't that great, but my goodness gracious, do we have to be woke all the time? I'm absolutely tired of it. Joining us in this hour, in this final hour of the program, coming up at 9:25, Staten Island Borough President Vito Fisella is going to join us. And Vito had a press conference the other day saying that he wants one of the casinos. Now, apparently New York State is going to give three areas in New York casinos, right? So the speculation had always been Times Square or out on Coney Island in Brooklyn. But Vito was throwing Staten Island's hat into the ring and saying, look, we got this beautiful wheel here. We got these shops. We have all this stuff, all this infrastructure going on the North Shore. Why not have a casino on the North Shore? You've got a bus that runs right through it. You've got, or right to it. Not through it. That would be wrong. You got a Staten Island ferry that can take people from Manhattan very easily over to Staten Island. 30-minute ride and about a 5-6 minute walk to the casino. You can put hotels up there. You have a police precinct that's literally across the street. So you want to talk about safety. You've got your built-in safety right there. So this is a grand proposal. Now, again, the borough president has not spoken to anybody about this. This was just he called a press conference to sort of announce it, saying, hey, we're throwing our hat into the ring. And I think Staten Island along is always called a forgotten borough. And for, I don't want to say a good reason, but the fact that a lot of people look at Staten Island as sort of an outlier of New York City. People refer to New York City, sort of Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens. A lot of people don't look at Staten Island as a borough of, lots of things to do. And what people forget is there is so much to do on Staten Island. There is the most parkland in the five boroughs is right on Staten Island. There are lots of different things to do on Staten Island. There's world-class cuisine. It's amazing to me that people, when they... People always knock Staten Island, and then when they actually go to Staten Island and visit it, they go, "Oh, it's not just the it's not just the dump. The dump's been gone for well over 20 years. Like enough already. There's no garbage smell anymore. Like, come on.
I think though, to your point about Staten Island being the forgotten borough, I think people tend to forget, and I've talked about it before on the show, that all five boroughs, the four outer boroughs, I should say, are all part of the same city. People tend to think of Brooklyn as its own city, and Queens as its own city, and the Bronx as its own city.
But as a kid growing up in Staten Island, whenever we said we're going to the city, it always meant Manhattan.
Yes.
It never meant, like somebody else would say, I'm going to the city, you refer to it, all of it as New York City. So, listen, there's an argument to be made. I think the borough president has a good idea. Whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. I think the strong push right now is to get a casino in Times Square. I think Times Square is going to have to be repurposed at some point because I think the infrastructure there in terms of businesses, I'm not talking about entertainment, but in terms of businesses in Times Square that are doing business in Times Square, we're starting to see a lot more people that stay at home and work and are not coming in. Lower Manhattan was sort of reimagined in the wake of 9/11, where it's more, you know, apartments and places to stay, whereas Wall Street used to be sort of a 9 to 5, and then once, or actually not even 9 to 5, it was more like 3:30, 4 o'clock, stock market closed, and all of a sudden Lower Broadway became a ghost town. That's not the case anymore. There's a lot more infrastructure being built up in Lower Manhattan. But Times Square would certainly benefit from having a casino. Coney Island would benefit from having a casino. They're looking to get more tourism out there.
See, that makes more sense to me because that's already sort of an entertainment destination. People are kind of aware of it.
It is. It's the question of, again, it's the infrastructure. Can it hold up with having a large influx of people? And I don't want to downplay this. I'm not saying that a casino isn't a good idea. What I'm saying is Atlantic City is seeing the effects of Philadelphia having casinos. It's much easier for Philadelphians to go to a casino in Philadelphia than it would be to travel to Atlantic City.
And what about Wind Creek, for that matter, Bethlehem?
Right. That's my point exactly. So the segment of people that would have gone to Atlantic City in the past that lived in the Pennsylvania area are staying in Pennsylvania. So now you're trying to attract people from New York City to come down to Atlantic City. But you've got casinos upstate. You've got Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. You have easier options for people to get to casinos. Then there was the talk for the longest time before they built MetLife and the Great American Dream Mall, which has been an absolute disaster for the taxpayers because they're not making money and they're not making their tax payments. There was talk about putting a casino right there at the Meadowlands, which would absolutely kill Atlantic City. What is the point of traveling 2 hours to Atlantic City when I've got a casino that's 20 minutes from my house if I take a quick ride over the Lincoln Tunnel?
I don't know if I would say that because I think Atlantic City, aside from the casinos, has more to offer in the sense that it's a shore town. You have the beauty of
that. But here's the thing. It's not promoted as a shore town. Atlantic City's beach is free. They don't tout that. Everybody talks about having to pay for a beach badge to go to the shore. Atlantic City has a beautiful beach line. Atlantic City has a lot of things to do that don't revolve around gambling.
Yes.
Atlantic City needs to promote more of those things.
And probably
that's the problem.
And probably should revitalize the Steel Pier to its former glory. I mean, now, obviously, with animal rights nowadays and whatever, you're not going to bring back the diving horse or anything like that. But there used to be far more entertainment a la Coney Island for families and for kids than there is now. There's hardly, in comparison to other boardwalks, for example, there's hardly any arcades for the kids to enjoy. I can think of maybe one arcade on the entire boardwalk.
But see, here's where Atlantic City is starting to improve. They're putting a water park in. Bally's has done a lot of improvements.
Yes.
They put an enormous beer hall in there now where people can go and they can drink and they can have a good time and, your steps from the beach. They're starting to put in more family-friendly things. I believe the Showboat is doing something where they're going to have an indoor water park where you're going to have all kinds of different attractions. Those are the things that you need to do to attract families. It's not just, let's put an outlet mall and hopefully people show up and spend money. That's not it. You've got to do more than that to keep people coming to Atlantic City over and over again. A friend of mine does business within Atlantic City. Every year he throws this enormous beer festival. It's the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. It's held every June now. It's outdoors. They used to have it in the convention center. Mayor Marty Small, who's doing a great job down there, during the pandemic told him, look, we're going to repurpose the convention center. We want you here at Bader Field because we want to repurpose the airfield because nobody's using it. And the last 2 years they've done the event there, it's been an enormous success. They're getting people to another side of Atlantic City to see another side of Atlantic City that you don't necessarily see. It's bringing in business, and they're making a whole weekend out of it. It's not just one day. You come in on a Friday, you leave on a Sunday or a Monday or whatever, you spend the whole weekend there, and you spend your money there. That's the thing you have to do. Now, whether or not, to get back to the whole casino thing on Staten Island, whether or not Staten Island can do this in a way that brings money into the borough, brings money into the city, but doesn't cause the mass congestion problems that would happen, that's what we'll talk to Vito about as well. Because, look, the area that he's proposing, it's two lanes. The infrastructure needs to be built out in order to support that, because people are going to come in by car. If somebody lives in Linden or Elizabeth, there is no ferry service for them to come over. They have to drive. They're forced to drive. So how are you going to accommodate all of those cars coming in. Now, I know there's the ballpark there, and people come to the ballpark to see the Ferry Hawks, and that's great. But again, that's a limited amount of time. The season starts in May. It ends in September.
Yeah.
I see where Vito is going here to try and get an all-year-round sort of thing. That's a great idea. I just wonder if the infrastructure is there to support it. And would the city support it? That's the other thing.
I feel as though you would have to construct it somewhere halfway between the New Jersey border with Staten Island and Brooklyn.
No. He's talking about, you mean the casino?
To construct the casino. I feel like you would have to do that because...
There's only right now in New York City, there's two spots. It's either Times Square or Coney Island. Those are the two spots that they're kind of looking at. There's a third, and I forget where. I think it's in the Bronx. Queens, because Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, wants to put a casino right next to Citi Field.
Yeah.
That's another area that is very underdeveloped. It's all car shops and stuff. There's really nothing around there. When there's no games, it's basically a barren waste area. So what he wants is to put a casino there, and he's trying to influence politicians in New York to make it go his way. We shall see what happens. Again, Times Square, Coney Island, and Citi Field are the three areas that they're looking at right now. But Vito wants to throw Staten Island's hat into the ring. And I think he has a legitimate argument.
So let's say it goes through, though. What I'm saying is you would have to construct it somewhere halfway between on Staten Island if they built a casino. You would want to put it, I would think, somewhere that's kind of halfway between, you know, the middle of the island, so that it's between the Verrazano and New Jersey.
Joe, you're missing.
So they can't put it there.
Joe, you're missing the point. Vito proposed to put it where the wheel is, where the mall is.
But why would you put it there?
Because the infrastructure is there already. You can't put it anywhere else on Staten Island. It has to go there because there's a ferry right there. You have a train that goes right there, and you have a bus that goes there.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, got it. Okay.
You can't put it anywhere else on Staten Island. The infrastructure doesn't support it. That's
okay,
the thing.
Okay, so that makes sense. Okay.
So again, he's trying to start a conversation, and kudos to him. I think, I would hope that they would look at it legitimately. Whether or not they do, I don't know. There was talk at one time that Staten Island was going to have a NASCAR track where the garbage dump was. Would have been a great idea. The problem with that is that you would have had to build at least one more bridge going up to Staten Island. You would have had to upgrade the highway that was over by that NASCAR track, because if you've ever been to a NASCAR event, NASCAR events attract well over 100,000 people on a weekend. It is an enormous event.
How many NASCAR fans are there in New York City?
NASCAR was trying to get a foothold into New York City at one point, about 20 years ago. That's why they had the NASCAR Cafe in New York.
And that's not a knock on NASCAR. It's just...
It's a cultural thing.
You know?
It is, but you would be surprised at how many NASCAR fans there actually are in the New York City area. And NASCAR felt like, listen, we're everywhere else. We're not here in New York City. It's the Mecca. This is where we need to be. And they looked at Staten Island as a viable area for putting a racetrack in. Now, again, the infrastructure improvements would have been very costly to the New York City taxpayer. Staten Islanders wanted it. The rest of New York City did not. On a race day, and it's not like they would have been holding a race there every weekend. You probably would have had one race a year. Maybe if it was that popular, that you would have had two. But you're talking about a race on a weekend on Staten Island in New York City. Again, you would have talked about an influx of about 100 to 125,000 people coming into Staten Island. I don't know if the infrastructure of Staten Island would have supported it. Hotels, restaurants, you know, you're going to get a hotel in Manhattan and then commute back to Staten Island to go and see the race. Where are you going to put all the RVs that would be coming in from all over the country to see their favorite race driver? There's a lot of things that would have had to have been worked out. Financially, I don't think it would have been feasible. It was a great idea, but again, the island is only so big.
Yes.
So that's the issue there. And then at 9:40, we're going to talk to Russ Salzberg. Yankees, Mets, Giants, we'll get into all of it with Russ. He has his podcast, Get a Load of This, that you should definitely listen to. But obviously, Aaron Judge being stuck on 60 home runs, he's trying to break that record. The Blue Jays last night, I thought, what an abomination. You keep walking this guy? I mean, let the guy try and hit a home run. I mean, that's nonsensical. And I'm hoping that the rest of the way, teams are not going to do that to sort of try and deny him, to getting that record at 61. I think that would be a shame. The Mets, on the other hand, look, they had a 2.5-game lead last week. Now, all of a sudden, they lost to the Marlins last night. It's a 2-game set. They're now even with the Braves. The Braves won last night. So now it's even in the NL East. And I think what's going to end up happening is the series is going to be decided, or the NL East is going to be decided this coming weekend against Atlanta in Atlanta. The problem is Hurricane Ian. Is the weather going to affect that series? Are they going to be able to play in Atlanta? Is Major League Baseball going to leave the game at Citi Field and say, look, you're going to have to play the three games here? Who gets the advantage there? I don't know. We'll talk to Russ about that. And then finally, Sterling Shepard tore his ACL on the turf at MetLife Stadium in the loss that the Giants suffered against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. I want to ask Russ about the turf at MetLife Stadium. A lot of guys have complained about it. The turf at Green Bay holds up far better and there's less injuries. You can't convert the field to grass because it's a disaster. The Giants and Jets both play there. It would not be a good situation. They tried that when MetLife opened. Didn't work out. So we'll talk to Russ about that along with a lot of other things. But right now, we're going to get into the traffic with Susie Cerone. And then when we come back on the Joe Piscopo Show here on AM 970, The Answer, Al Gattulo and Joe Sabilia filling in for Joe, we'll talk to Vito Fisella, the Staten Island Borough President, about this proposal of putting a casino on Staten Island. But first, Susie Cerone with the traffic on AM 970, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Sunny skies, and it's 57 now in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Delays continue in Queens, but that accident cleared LIE Westman at Little Neck Parkway. You've got delays from Searingtown Road to Little Neck Parkway, and then it's slow from Casino to Woodhaven Boulevard. Alternate side back in effect. Inbound George 40 for the upper, 30 at the lower. Inbound Lincoln 40. Holland's still your best bet, about 25 apiece. And ouch, cross Bronx Westman already pretty slow from the Bruckner to 3rd Avenue. 17 northbound at Crescent Avenue and Upper Saddle River. Earlier car carrier fire. Two lanes are out with that. Parkway northbound slows 142 to 150. Super slow on the thruway southbound. 14A right across the Tappan Zee into Westchester. Your forecast, we've got some sun now. We'll have a cloudy afternoon with a high of 71. Tonight, partly cloudy and 54 in the city. Thursday, sunny and 68. Friday, mostly cloudy and 65. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970, The Answer.
Dennis Prager doesn't fall for the tricks.
My friends, the climate issue is an excuse to give government more and more power. It's based on gobbledygook that we could live on wind and solar. Live on wind and solar power. Where is that happening in the world? Where is that happening? They're not serious about climate change. They're serious about revolution.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
2,977 people were killed on 9/11. People are still suffering and losing their lives to 9/11 related illnesses. A generation of kids knows little to nothing about it. Only Tennessee and Arizona mandate K-12 learning, a national disgrace. The Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute gives educators access to nonfiction 9/11 resources for K-12. Curriculum units built around first-person accounts with social studies lessons for teachers to ensure ease of use. Plus, the nonfiction Discovering Heroes series of books for elementary school, a speakers bureau with access to 9/11 first responders, survivors, and loved ones, and a mobile exhibit, 83-foot tractor trailer that transforms into an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts. Tunnel to Towers is also granting Russell F. Siller Memorial Scholarships to the children of their program recipients who are exemplary high school students preparing for college. To never forget, we must educate future generations. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org.
Today, it's Wellness Wednesday on Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Sponsored by Balance of Nature, the whole fruit and vegetable capsule delivering your maximum nutrition in every dose. 100% whole food nutrition with the taste, smell, and color of pure fruits and veggies, as nature intended just for you. Try them now and see for yourself. 35% off and free shipping. Call now, 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com. And don't miss Wellness Wednesday, tonight at 7 p.m. on AM 970. The Answer.
Want to improve your memory and focus? Want a more restful sleep or maybe more energy throughout the day? Learn how by tuning into Boost Your Brain Power with Dr. Eric Kaplan as he guides you on an adventure of discovery on how to help your brain and body in a natural way so you feel better, function better, and improve your quality of life. It's Boost Your Brain Power with Dr. Eric Kaplan, New York's first board-certified functional neurologist, Saturday morning at 8 on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hey, Joe Piscopo on the radio. Michael's of Brooklyn's where you got to go. It's right there on Avenue R and O Street in Brooklyn, New York. Here's the number because everybody's going, and I want you to be able to get a reservation there. 718-998-7851. 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn. You go to michaelsofbrooklyn.com. You can join their Sauce of the Month Club. If you're around the country listening, you know you can go to the supermarket, pick up Michael's of Brooklyn. Everybody, and I mean everybody, I text pictures out. Or I tweet them out. There's people will send me pictures of Michael's of Brooklyn, and then they stock up with Michael's of Brooklyn, which is great. We appreciate it. You're going to love it. The Arrabbiata Puttanesca, fresh marinara, Michael's of Brooklyn. But call if you're going to go, and you want to go. Fred is there, and Johnny and Marianne and Michael and the great family is there, right there on Avenue R and Nostrand in the great borough of Brooklyn, New York, baby. 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island, hear about it with Joe Piscopo. Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
I know I'd go from rags to riches. If you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer. Joe is in Italy enjoying a Perillo tour with his family, and Debbie Duhaime is there as well. Joe checked in with us last hour. Let us know about his big concert tonight. Most of them are at the Colosseum today, and then they are heading off to Pompeii tomorrow, the Vatican. There's a lot of good stuff that's going on that Italy trip, and you want to check out PerilloTours.com. If you want to get in on the next trip, which I think is going to be at some point next year, the middle portion of next year. Don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure of the dates. Our next guest on the program, I am sure, has been to the motherland a number of times. He's the borough president of Staten Island. He's also a former congressman for Staten Island as well. It's Vito Fisella. Vito, Al Gattullo and Joe Sibilia. How are you?
I'm doing great, Al. Good morning. And yes, I have been to the motherland.
And it's always a good time, right?
And how can you not sing along with Tony Bennett in that great introductory song? So, Italy is wonderful. Anybody who's not been there should take a visit. It really is enriching, and, you know, it's one of those you can't wait to go back. So, yes, I give it a thumbs up, thumbs up.
Sounds good. Now, what you're also giving a thumbs up to is you're proposing the construction of a casino near the New York Wheel site. And I know you did this, you called this press conference, you haven't really spoken to anybody about it, you kind of just, you put it out there, but why hasn't Staten Island been strongly considered for a casino in the past?
Well, so let's just give it a little background. You mentioned the New York Wheel site, Ferris Wheel site. Now, a number of years ago, about 15 or so, somebody proposed building a 600-plus foot high Ferris wheel, and it was embraced, and they started construction, and as we sit today, that they've poured about $500 million into the site. It's a structure, it's got a base for a wheel, but it's incomplete and it's dormant right now, and we don't know if it's going to be completed. The current talk is to build a Ferris wheel about one third the size of that, a little over 200 feet, but still that's not definite. So in light of that, New York State is proposing to issue 3 downstate casino licenses, the New York City area, maybe Long Island, let's say. 2 are probably spoken for, don't know, but, you know, the rumor is 2, which leaves 1. And we have a magnificent waterfront, Al, as you know, St. George Ferry, the new baseball stadium has dramatic views of the New York City skyline, New York Harbor, Statue of Liberty, and on a clear day, it's probably some of the nicest views in the world. And what we just put out there is to suggest that people take a look at the wheel site in and around that area and think about putting a casino in that structure or on that property. And let the chips fall where they may, as they say, right?
Right.
up until now, they've crapped out, and let's see where they go. The ferry, the Staten Island Ferry, for example, gets about 1.5 million tourists a year. Just think about a good chunk of those people just walking a few hundred feet to a new casino, and who knows? You know, I'm just saying, let's throw it out there. Let's think differently. And there will be those who have said, yeah, it's a great idea. Those who say, you know, we don't want it. But that's fine. That's
right.
That's the way life should be. We agree to disagree.
Now, Vito, would the issue be, and obviously your offices are right near that area where the wheel is and where the Staten Island Ferry Hawks play. The issue, sure. I am sure that most people that live on Staten Island would be, well, there's congestion. There would be a congestion problem in terms of cars. The infrastructure itself is already set up. You're talking about constructing, you know, a hotel and a casino and stuff. That's already built in to the property. So the impact there wouldn't be as severe. But the going past that area where you have, you know, Curtis High School, the police precinct, all of these different things on that North Shore, would that be a major impact for the people that live around there?
You know, that's a fair question. I think that would be all taken into consideration. You know, and then I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I would anticipate that most people would come in from the water, like the ferry, and just walk literally a few hundred. For those unfamiliar, you are, Al, very familiar with that area.
Yep.
The Staten Island Ferry drops you off right there in St. George, comes over from Manhattan. They're a high-speed ferry literally at the foot of the stadium, which is a stone's throw from the Ferris wheel site. So I would anticipate most people would come actually from the water, from the ferry or mass transit. Will people come from cars? I would assume so, but that will have to be taken into consideration.
Right, and I'm looking at it from the point of view of now living in New Jersey and living so close to Staten Island that people would go, oh, you know what, I don't want to go to Atlantic City today. Maybe I'll take a ride over to the new casino on Staten Island, theoretically, if it's built. And then you're talking about waiting in traffic on Richmond Terrace to get to that casino. That's the concern that I would have.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fair, and I don't want to – right. I can't say yes or no to that. You would hope that it would be successful. You know, we have a situation in that area where – you know, we have an outlet center that's in consensual foreclosure. We have other stuff that's started and stopped. Right. So if the goal is to revitalize that area, we should consider this as a destination point, getting people to it and enjoying the waterfront and see it as a revitalization. And if the problems are so severe that it doesn't make sense, then the problems are so severe that it doesn't make sense and it won't happen.
Right.
But I'm of the view of, like, put it out there. Let's have a discussion, see if it works, and we'll take it from there.
100%, and I agree with you on that one, Vito. I think that you have to figure out a way to try and repurpose that area. You're right. There's the starting and the stopping. It's been going on for quite some time. And frankly, let's face it, there needs to be something done in that entire area. I mean, the last time really significant stuff was done in the St. George area, in and around that area, was when the Navy was here in the 80s. And then when they pulled up stakes and pulled out, you know, Stapleton and St. George sort of became a ghost town, and that's not good.
Yeah, and as just for those who aren't familiar with the area, from St. George to, say, Highland Boulevard, that includes the Homeport area, it's about a 2.5-mile stretch of the waterfront that has tremendous views, and a good chunk of that area is really in a state of disrepair. But we hope it's a jewel that can be tapped, or an untapped jewel, I should say, that can be revitalized. And you see what they've done on the waterfront in Brooklyn and Manhattan, other parts of the city, in Jersey City and Hoboken and now in Bayonne. And we feel that this area is ripe for that. And we just can't just sit back and wait 15 years for something to happen, as been the case on these dormant projects. And that brings us full circle that their efforts have been tried, and they've been unsuccessful to date. So we can't just keep doing the wrong thing over and over. Let's think out of the box a little bit.
We're talking with Staten Island Borough President Vito Fisella on the Joe Piscopo Show here on AM 970. The Answer, Al Gattulo and Joe Sebilia sitting in for Joe, who is in Italy right now, enjoying a Perillo tour. Vito, you wrote a letter here to the Independent Budget Office, and why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what's in that letter, this having to do with the migrant crisis that the city is facing.
Right. So a little backdrop, you know, as you mentioned, I was privileged to serve the people of Staten Island and Brooklyn in Congress. And one of the issues way back when was the border, the southern border, and illegal immigration and coming over. And at that time, it was a legitimate issue to try to stop it. We're not opposed to legal immigration, but the illegal immigration has always been a problem. But in recent years, as we know, it's just out of control. millions of people flowing across. It's a federal responsibility, and I think the federal government has been absent on all this. And now most a good chunk of areas, states, are paying the price for that abdication of responsibility, and now it's landing in New York City. And what we have asked the Independent Budget Office, including the three local council members, there are three on Staten Island, to say, what is this going to cost us? You know, we're told, as you know, money is fungible. Schools cost money. Parks cost money. To build new roads or extend HOV lanes on the Staten Island Expressway costs money. And we're told there's no money to do that.
Right.
You know, we don't have the money. And then you have the stock market dropping. The city has to make whole on the pension fund. The city controller says the city probably will have to cut a check for $6 billion to keep the pension fund alive and you know, consistent with state law. So you have all these elements of money that doesn't exist, and then along come thousands of people, let's call them migrants, who are settling, and we're paying the price.
Right.
Staten Island, New York City taxpayers are paying the price. And this is the point now. We don't know what it costs.
Right.
We have no clue. So we're doing all these things, and some of us don't support the way it's going about it, but we, at a minimum, owe it to taxpayers to say, what is this thing going to cost? So we're not swimming, you know, in the blind with this thing.
Absolutely.
And the budget office has been asked to evaluate it, from the hotel rooms to anything else associated, cell phones, who the heck knows?
Right.
And I just think it's the first step to give people an honest assessment as to what's happening with this call it a crisis.
Transparency, that's all you want, Vito. And by the way, I've never understood an HOV lane on the Staten Island Expressway that ends before you get to the Gothels Bridge, and the MTA saying, we never budgeted the money for that, we don't think it's necessary.
That's insane, right? Because when I was in Congress, we actually helped get that authorized
right.
way back when, and I pushed for the full HOV lane from the Verrazano to the Gothels Bridge. That was our vision.
Right.
And there were those who opposed it more, let's call them some of the environmental groups who didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem was. So the compromise, let's go this seven-eighths of the way,
right.
thereabouts,
right.
with the expectation that in a few years it would be extended. And here we are fighting. In fact, we'll have a little more update on that this coming Monday of the status. We've been talking, meeting with the state DOT folks for the last 6 or 7 months, and you know, trying to make some headway on that, because it really, to me, is the number one quality of life issue outside of crime is traffic on Staten Island.
Absolutely.
And of course the Staten Island Expressway is just a disaster with its current state.
You're absolutely right, Vito. No matter what time of the day you drive it, day or night, I mean, it always seems to be a disaster, but you're doing what you can.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. We got to leave it there. Vito Fisella, the Staten Island Borough President, thanks so much for joining us on the Joe Piscopo Show today. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Al. Have a great day.
Appreciate
it.
Be
well.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Vito's a good guy, and he has done so much to serve the public trust of Staten Islanders and Brooklynites when he was in Congress, and now back home on Staten Island helping out Staten Islanders. Jimmy Otto, same thing, when he was there for 8 years. Term limited, had to leave. Couldn't have asked for a better person to come in and do the work to help out all Staten Islanders. And Vito Fisella, he's got a great idea about the casino. I think it is something that certainly should be looked at. And I love the fact that we're going to get an update on that HOV lane on Staten Island. The absurdity of it, when you drive on the Staten Island Expressway and the HOV lane ends 2 miles before you get to the Gothels Bridge, when if you just extended it all the way to the Gothels Bridge, you would have less traffic on the roadway because people wouldn't be stopping to try and merge in. Ridiculous. But what are you going to do? Anyway, coming up next, Russ Salzberg, longtime New York sports commentator, host of the Get a Load of This podcast, going to talk some sports. Before we get out of here on the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
58 and sunny at 938. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. The Barnegat Lighthouse, that has undergone a renovation and been dark since March, will have its scaffolding removed. The move signals the roughly $1.3 million project is almost finished. In addition to shoring up the brick exterior, replacing windows, and repairing steel platforms, a new beacon is set to be installed. An official reopening date for the lighthouse has not been determined. The red and white lighthouse, nicknamed Old Barney, has been standing at the mouth of the Barnegat Inlet since 1859. And James Bond producers are looking for a new actor to play the legendary character that will commit to the franchise for a decade. Variety reports the search for the new 007 is still in the early days. For some time, it seemed it was all leading to actor Idris Elba taking over the role, but he recently said he doesn't see Bond when he looks in the mirror. The producers said most young actors think they want to be Bond, but don't realize it would be no shorter than a 10 to 12 year process. In sports, Yankees are AL East champions. The Bombers topped the Blue Jays 5-2 in Toronto to clinch the division. Aaron Judge still at 60 home runs, went 0-1 with 4 walks. The Mets dropped their series opener to the Marlins 6-4, and with the Braves winning, both teams now tied atop the National League East. Stuck in traffic? Susie Cerrone's got the answer.
Sunny skies, and it's 57 now in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. A stalled tractor trailer on the Staten Island Expressway eastbound at Bradley Avenue. It's sitting in the center lane. Heavy delays from Forest Avenue. Inbound, George, no relief there. 40 for the upper, 30 at the lower. The Lincoln is 40. Holland, 25 from either approach. And 17 northbound at Crescent Avenue and Upper Saddle River. An earlier car carrier fire. Two right lanes out. Heavy delays with that. Stick with the parkway instead. And an overturned car in the parkway southbound at 139, two center lanes are out. Checking your forecast for today, don't be fooled by the sun now. It'll be cloudy this afternoon with a high of 71. Tonight, partly cloudy and 54. Thursday, sunny and 68. And this report sponsored by Audible. This fall, find everything you love listening to on Audible, from memoirs and true crime to celebrities and sci-fi. Start a 30-day trial for free at audible.com. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. As the leaves change, leave the hiring to Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You know I love performing at the Saccone Theater at Bergen Community College in Paramus, so I'm bringing my band and heading back there on Friday, October 21st for an unbelievable show. A lot of comedy, some stories, a great tribute to Mr. Sinatra. This is a night you can't miss. It begins at 6 p.m. in a luxury tent right in front of the theater with a full dinner complete with signature dishes from Frank Sinatra's favorite restaurant, Patsy's, and owner and chef Sal Scagnamillo. You know what's really great? We'll be raising money for scholarships at Bergen Community College, a great school. You get valet parking, dinner, wine, the show, everything for one unbelievable price, $125. The Saccone Theater's an intimate venue that will sell out fast, so get your tickets now at tickets.bergen.edu. That's tickets.bergen.edu. Tickets.bergen.edu or call 201-447-7428. I'll see you there.
For everything you need to know about health, wellness, and surviving everyday life in the New York, New Jersey metro area, stay tuned for the all-new Invite Health Radio with Amanda Williams at noon on AM 970, The Answer.
Imagine yourself strolling the streets of Florence or in a romantic gondola through the beauty that is Venice, or cruise the magical Isle of Capri, or visit a 400-year-old vineyard in the rolling hills of Tuscany. Sounds amazing, right? Well, it's simply a phone call away with Perillo Tours. Choose from so many options. Perhaps the popular first-class 14-day Italy North Classic, Rome, Sorrento, Florence, Venice, and Milan, or the new Flavors of Italy tour with gourmet meals and cooking classes in Bologna, Florence, Perugia, and of course, Roma. For foodies, Steve Perillo and his team have created the perfect Italy vacation. Call for the Perillo 2022 Italy, Spain, or Hawaii brochures at 800-631-1000, 800-631-1000. That's 800-631-1000, or visit, please, PerilloTours.com.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, coming up at 3 on AM 970, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show here on AM 970. The Answer, Al Gattulo and Joe Sibilia sitting in for Joe Piscopo, who's in Italy right now. Joining us, of course, as you hear the Yankees theme, Russ Salzburg, the longtime New York sports commentator and the host of the Get a Load of This podcast, joins us on the program. Russ, how are you this morning?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, Al?
I'm good. So, Yankees clinched the AL East. Judge still sitting at 60 home runs. Blue Jays walk them a million times last night. Is this what we're going to see towards the end of the season here? I hope not.
Well, in terms of the walks, you know, I have to tell you something. People are saying, well, they're not pitching to him. You know, one thing about Judge during this, and I don't like him batting leadoff. I've said it to you. I've said it to Joe.
Sure.
But be it as it is, I will say this. You know, last night he walked four times, but all five at-bats were all full counts. Right. They all went to 3-2. So, I mean, you're not intentionally walking somebody because it's you're not going to full counts that way. He has become, and that's why he's vying for the triple crown, Al. Mm-hmm. He's becoming a polished hitter. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Right now, he is the best player in all of baseball.
Oh, and certainly has carried the Yankees on his back, you know, from the very beginning of the season. And that's where I think Yankee fans are going to be upset if this guy gets away in the offseason and somebody like the Red Sox come along and offer him, you know, more money than the Yankees. And the Yankees have to do their due diligence and say, is he worth the money that he's going to command in the open market? I think they made him a fair offer at the beginning of the season, but he's completely turned that around from April to now. I mean, without him, they're not even in the conversation, right?
I'll tell you what, it would have been hard to fathom. Think about it. Mm. When they were 15 and a half games up, it would have been hard to fathom that they would have blown the division. But you want to know what? Without him, they would have blown the division.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly.
I mean,
right.
It would have been, you know, one of the most colossal collapses ever.
Right.
15 and a half game lead.
Right.
Ever.
That's exactly right. Now, speaking of losing the division, let's shift to the other tenant in town, the New York Mets. They lose last night to the Marlins, which not a good look losing to the Marlins here. But the Atlanta wins, so now they're tied, which has all the makings of setting up for this weekend series in Atlanta. But now, now throw a hurricane into the mix where they don't even know where they're going to play at this point, because who knows if Hurricane Ian is going to affect all of this. This is coming down to the nitty-gritty, and I don't think if you're a Mets fan, you want them in the wild card. You want them winning this division, a division that was pretty much theirs for most of the season. What do the Mets need to do here to stop the bleeding?
Well, you know what, Al? I mean, let's look at it this way. Someone's going to win 100 games in this division and finish second.
Right.
I mean, that's a hard thing to complain about.
Yeah.
It really is. I just think the way it works out and the way the wild card teams are, it is a huge advantage. What they need to do this weekend is win, baby, win.
Right.
It's as simple as that. I mean, I don't think it's complicated. It's hard to, you know, call somebody a collapse or this and that when you're going to win 100 games.
Right. Right.
It's just a situation. Look, when they were up, let's go back. Remember when they had a big lead?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that they blew the lead. Atlanta just kept winning.
Yes, that's true. Atlanta couldn't lose.
They were like 22-8 or something.
Right.
So it was. They were 22-8, and I think the Mets were like 19-14 or something.
Right.
Now, that's not a collapse. That's just. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think people forget Atlanta won the World Series last year. They were world champions, so they are a good team, and they picked it up when they needed to as the second half started and got them to where they were going. The bigger question, though, is where are they going to play this game? If the hurricane is going to impact what's going on, I'm wondering if Major League Baseball is going to say, look, Atlanta, you guys can't play in your stadium. You're going to have to move the game. Do you move it to a neutral site? Do you put it at Citi Field? What do you do?
I was, this is what, you know, some of the talk has been, that because they both have off days on Thursday, that they could play on Thursday, maybe even play a doubleheader on Thursday. The day that is supposed to be the washout day that everybody's concerned about is Saturday.
Right.
But, you know, listen, nobody likes to give up home gate receipts, especially if the home gate receipt is going to be, you know, Mets, Atlanta. If you're in Atlanta, you want to give up that receipt. If you're
no.
in New York, you want to give up that receipt.
No.
You know, that's a difficult situation. But listen, the weather plays havoc, is playing havoc, and baseball is playing havoc, and football, it is what it is.
That's true. That's true. We're talking with Russ Salzberg, longtime New York sports commentator and the host of the Get a Load of This podcast here on the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer, Al Gattulo and Joe Sabilia sitting in for Joe while he is in Italy. So, Russ, Giants lose to the Cowboys the other night. They're now 2-1 on the season. And to be quite honest, in my opinion, I thought a weaker 2-0 team, I thought Jones did some good things at quarterback, but he's not making the mistakes, the colossal mistakes that he would have made Daniel Jones a year or two ago. So he's playing within the system, which is great. But the Giants lose Sterling Shepard to a non-contact injury at the end of the game. I know that the Jets and Giants both play on the same field, but there have been numerous complaints about the turf at MetLife. Green Bay seems to use a different turf surface that doesn't affect right. the players as much. You're around the Giants a lot. Is there any talk of discussing this with the Jets or MetLife itself and just saying, look, we need to change the turf here. This is a problem.
I don't know if there is discussion. My gut feeling is, and they don't tell us that, my gut feeling is when you see the amount of injuries, maybe there is a discussion. I mean, Shepard's injuries, not one, but both of them.
Right.
They happen like it was like the last play last year, and he's gone.
Right.
And again, he wasn't involved in any, you know, physical contact. The same thing happened late in the game this year, and he's gone. You know, maybe it's one of those freak things. I don't know. Getting back to Daniel Jones, you know, I thought he played. He showed great leadership. I thought, and I know the Giants hierarchy thought he played extremely well mm-hmm. on Monday night. The problem with the problem with Daniel Jones is, well, how are we going to give a fair assessment of somebody? You know, everybody was talking about how this year is going to be the year we have to judge him to see if he's the guy. Well, how are we going to be able to judge fairly if his receiving core is, I mean.
Right. It's devastating.
I can't sugarcoat it.
No.
Terribly disappointing, and now with Shep out, it's even worse. You know, Tony hasn't played.
Right, Galladay has been a mess. So yeah, I get it. Yeah. They just don't have the weapons for him that they thought that they had at the beginning of the season. So to give him a fair shake is probably not something that can happen here at this point. Hopefully, things get better as they move on. Russ, we got to leave it there. We're out of time here, but always a great time to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us on the Joe Piscopo Show today. We really do appreciate it.
Be well, pal. Take care. Regards to Joe.
You Bye-bye. Got it. Thanks, Russ. Russ Salzberg, longtime New York sports commentator and the host of the Get a Load of This podcast. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. Now it's time for Susie Cerrone and the traffic.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It is sunny and 57 in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. A super busy traffic morning. An accident with a tractor trailer and a box truck on the northbound Gowanus at the Prospect Expressway. That's in the center lane. A stalled tractor trailer on the Staten Island Expressway eastbound at Bradley Avenue is gone. Still delays getting by that, though. Delays still at the Hudson River crossings. The inbound George 45 for the upper, 30 at the lower. The Lincoln is 40. Holland 30 from the Turnpike, 45 minutes from 1 and 9. Overturned car in the Parkway South, but at 139, two center lanes are out the Parkway North. That is pretty slow, 142 to 150. An earlier car carrier fire, 17 North, but at Crescent Avenue and Upper Saddle River, two lanes out. I would stick with the Parkway instead, northbound. And what a bad morning on the thruway. Everything is open, but I see delays from just north of exit 13, right across the Tappan Zee into Westchester. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
The following is a paid political announcement. $23 every time you drive into Manhattan. That's Kathy Hochul's new $1 billion scheme to grab more of your hard-earned money. Congestion pricing is Kathy Hochul's new commuter tax, making suburban commuters pay more than $100 in a round trip just to head to work, and costing outer borough New Yorkers potentially thousands of dollars a year to get to the hospital, go to school, or just drive around their own city. Kathy Hochul doesn't get New York. She doesn't understand what it means to live here and how much her congestion pricing plan will cost each and every one of us. That's why we need to elect Lee Zeldin governor. Lee Zeldin will stop Hochul's congestion pricing tax. Zeldin will get New York's economy moving again. And he'll save our state. Vote Lee Zeldin for governor on November 8th. Paid for by Save Our State New York Incorporated.
Now you can travel to Israel. Spend 10 extraordinary days in the Holy Land this November. Collect remarkable memories on a trip that will change you forever. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza lead our tour of Israel with our trusted travel partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. Join them and enjoy picturesque and unforgettable places you'll treasure for a lifetime. Reserve your spot today at standwithisraeltour.com.
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian with Fellowship Home Loans. For years now, we've helped thousands of families live the dream of home ownership. And it's always great to hear from them.
So I would highly recommend this company because they are quick and very easy to work with. Did a really good job and saved me a lot of money in the process.
At Fellowship Home Loans, we don't have clients. We have friends and family.
They were amazing people. They are unbelievable. And I think they're just not going to do what they did for me. I think they will do it for anybody. They will just go beyond just to help you.
If we can help you, give us a call at 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283.
We're here to help. No pressure guaranteed. 800-804-SAVE.
I would say Fellowship is the way to go.
Welcome home.
Come and get your loan. Fellowship Home Loans.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hey, Joe on the radio. Let me tell you about Reggie, who lives in Florida. He's got a lot of pain. Came by it from just getting older, honestly, you know. You know how it goes, pain, stiffness, you know, and then rinse and repeat every day when you wake up, right? You get the same thing. Well, the difference is Reggie decided he wasn't going to put up with that. So he'd heard about 100% drug-free Relief Factor and gave it a try. 4 days later, he was already starting to feel better. Only 4 days already working. For me, it was 5 days with a 3-week quick start. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried Relief Factor, and about 70% have gone on to order more. Are you in pain? You're in pain, right? A little bit. Wouldn't you like to get rid of it? Get out of pain like I did? Well, your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. You go to relieffactor.com or you call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF to hear more about this offer. We want you to feel the difference with Relief Factor at relieffactor.com.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Almost time to get out of here on the Joe Piscopo Show. Al Gattulo and Joe Sibilia sitting in for Joe as he is in Italy, and he'll be back next Friday. Now, tomorrow, Councilman Joe Borelli is back in the chair. Is
yes.
that correct?
And then Friday, Arthur Idala will be here Idala. Friday.
And then next Monday and Tuesday, it's Jen Kearns filling in,
correct? And Arthur will be here next Wednesday, and Joe Borelli will be here next Thursday.
All right.
And then Joe Piscopo should be back on October 7th.
Should be back on next Friday, assuming that everything goes well with his flight and there are no issues. Look, we didn't get to the weather, but it's going to be beautiful here today, tomorrow, and on Friday. It's going to get cooler each day. However, Hurricane Ian, they're talking about 15-foot storm surges down in the Fort Myers area, down near Venice. If you're there, you're listening, stay safe, hunker down, because this is going to be a catastrophic storm. It's going to hit sometime this afternoon, a Cat 4. We'll have more about that tomorrow. I know that Mike Gallagher will have more about it because Tampa is near and dear to his heart as well. We got to get out of here. Mike Gallagher is next. He's going to have more on Hurricane Ian, along with lots of other stuff going on. It's the Mike Gallagher Show, starting at 10 until noon. And up next, it's the news with me. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it right here on AM 970, The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.